All right. I missed some things, I'm sure. I probably got some wrong names there, but you can help me out here and correct me. Tell me what you know about fatherhood.
I had a
This is
couple of
good.
little thoughts. We talked about to be the husband of one wife, and I thought about the instructions that God gave Adam when he created Eve. He said something along the line of, therefore, now that I've created this woman, you're to, leave father and mother, and the two of you shall become one flesh. And I'm going to quote Sess here on something about becoming one flesh. He said, so if your arm is hurting you, you don't demand it lift 100 pounds. You understand, we're supposed to be one with our wives in a fashion where we don't hurt ourselves, we don't do anything bad to ourselves. We have to be one with her, so it's, anyway, that's one thought that came to me. And also in, I think it was Paul's instructions about if a man and a woman are married, and one of, let's say, the wife is not a follower of God, we're to stay with her, but if she wants to leave, we can let her leave. And then he said, you're free to marry. And then he added this one little thing of like kind, which goes along with what Mark was saying about strange women. When he says like kind, he means a follower of God. We're not free to just go out and marry any old buddy. And then the other thought I had was my favorite wife of David has always been Abigail also. And there was one little point I wanted to bring out about Abigail. In the story, David had been running from Saul because Saul was trying to kill him. So David and his men were watching over Abigail's husband's property and possessions, like his sheep and his land and whatnot, So they were hungry and they needed some food. So David sent one of his men. What was Abigail's husband's name again? Nabal, is it?
Nabal, yes.
Yeah, Nabal. So David sent some of his men to Nabal to say, can we get some food? We have a need here. And he wouldn't give them any. And in fact, he embarrassed them by shaving their beards off or whatever it was. Anyway, they go back and tell David what happened. And he says, all right, men, put your swords on. We're going to go in there and kill every man. And when Abigail heard it, she got a bunch of food together and went out to meet David on his way. And she said something that's always really meant a lot to me. She said to David, don't do this thing because it's going to make you look bad when you become king. So David wasn't even king yet, but Abigail knew he was going to be. And when we face temptation, sometimes the one thing that can stop you from it is when you become a son of God, you start realizing that what you do affects a lot of other people. And so that one thing can make you not do something that you might have done. So that's always been something I remembered about Abigail. Was what she said to David, if you do this thing, it's going to look bad on you later on in your life when you're in the position you're going to be in. So, anyway, those were just the two thoughts that came to me today.
Well, Mike, I would think too, you said if your arm is hurting, you could say, well, you don't just go and cut it off. The only r way you would cut your arm off is if it has gangrene. And if you don't remove it, it's going to kill you.
What I wanted to say, what I wanted to say, is a bit of what we are discussing. In the word, God said that a bishop should be the husband of one wife. And he didn't say that the woman should be the wife of one husband. Everything was on the man. Does it mean that bishops must be men only? Women should not be bishops?
Amen. Amen. And you know, these denominations, so-called Protestant denominations, are ordaining their women as bishops. And I have found even a few Mennonite congregations that are naming the wives of the pastor, they are naming them as pastor now. And you can see how this is progressing. Opie, I'll never forget, I forgive me if I told you this story before. I'll never forget, I was flying home from Indianapolis. I had been out to the fellowship in Illinois. I went to Indianapolis to catch the flight, and I was flying back home to New York. And I don't know what airline I was on. I can't remember. And we landed in some city that I've never been in, Cincinnati, or I don't know whether it was in Charlotte, or I don't know where it was. But I had quite a delay between the flight, and there was a large open area in the airport, and there were tables in the, what will I call this, a big lounge thing. So I went over to one of the tables. There was a space, and I think there was an older woman sitting there. And we began to talk, and somehow she found out that I was, she probably asked what I was doing, you know, why I was out flying or whatever. And she found out that I was a teacher of the word. And she said, "Oh, I think these bishops have got too much power. They take power over the local congregation." And I thought, "Oh, this is interesting. We're going to have an interesting talk with this woman." And I said, "Well, yes, I really agree with you." You know, I thought, "Oh, thank God, there's somebody else out there that believes kind of the way we do." You know that. Each congregation, you know, they don't, we don't believe in the hierarchy of bishops over the churches. Well, I said, "So tell me, why do you believe this?" And she, then she began to tell me, "Oh, I was sorry I asked." Then she began to tell me her story. "Well, we had a pastor, and the bishop fired her." Uh-oh. The bishop fired her, the pastor. I said, "Well, why did he do that?" "Well, she was faithful, and he went and fired her anyway." I says, "Well, how was she faithful?" "Well, she had a woman that was her wife or her partner. And she was faithful to her, and the bishop didn't like it, and he came and he fired her, and Now we have to have somebody else as our pastor. Oh, I thought, dear Lord. For the wrong reason. She didn't believe in bishops. Well, if you believed in bishops, the bishop did the right thing. Shouldn't have allowed her to have the woman pass. I don't know what kind of group that was. But they were totally out of order, totally out of order. In just about every aspect you could imagine, that church, whatever it was, disorder. And when you start bringing disorder in, you've got disorder in more places than one. Yes, brother, that the word is specifically a masculine word, the husband of one wife.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Mark, isn't the word bishop a mistranslation? That
of course it is.
Yeah, it's really not intended to be there. It's just overseer. So whenever we say bishop, it's an incorrect
it's an incorrect translation.
Right.
And I pointed that out. What Paul was talking about was elders. And then he throws the word bishop in, which means the elder who is an overseer should be thus and thus and thus and should have one wife. Now, I could ask me the question. Let me ask you the question. You tell me. Why should a man who has oversight and leadership in the house of God, why should he have a wife? What difference does it make? What benefit does he have in having a wife?
She keeps him balanced.
Oh, come over here and say that, Rita. Oh, she's going to tell on me now.
No. I said she keeps him balanced. She keeps him on check, you know. She can pray for him and encourage him and edify him. And even give some counsel sometimes if they listen. But yeah, she keeps him balanced. That's the main thing I would say.
Could she ever give him trouble?
Yeah.
In other words, he needs to know how to overcome any, even if he thinks she's giving him trouble. He needs to be like Christ. How will Christ deal with, if Christ were married to this woman, how will he help her? And he'll help her overcome too. That he's supposed to do that. She's going to need help.
Yes.
Amen.
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 And I am
as
thankful.
A Christian woman, it's also a great second opinion.
Yes.
Yes. And, you know, men should really listen to their wives. Maybe they are off. Maybe they're not. They need to listen, at least listen and consider and take it to the Lord in prayer. Because sometimes the wife is on. And I am thankful for my husband.
And so this sometime the wife is on is what's called a help. He needs that help. He's not perfect. His mind goes wandering off. I mean, would to God there had been some woman that had been stopping David. David, you don't need any more wives. Look at our son. He's going the wrong way. You need to be home in one home raising that boy. You're going to have trouble with him someday. Now, this is what a proper woman, one wife, would have done for David.
You know, Brother Ducille put it another way, too. He said, I do not have eyes in the back of my head, and my wife can see the back of my head.
There you go. There you go.
You know, your children sometimes will say, "Mom, you must have eyes in the back of your head." You know, we seem to be able to pick out and find things that they might be hiding from us, you know. So,
Jeremy, did that ever happen to you? Your mother had eyes in the back of her head?
Yeah. Anyway, me as a woman, you know, when I was praying for a husband, I felt like a half a person. I really did. I don't know how a man feels, but I know as a woman, I felt like I wasn't whole. I felt like the other part of me wasn't there yet.
Amen.
And so when God brought it together, when I knew at that moment, I knew I felt whole, even though it wasn't brought to pass yet. I knew, and I just had to believe God.
Amen.
Amen.
And I knew I needed to lose a rib.
That was what I, what Sister Rita said, was what I was about to say. You know, in creation, God created in Adam male and female. So Adam had to get a part of him separated to be like him so that the relationship would be fair and true. It's like Christ coming to take up flesh so that he could have our own feelings, our own pains and all that. So man was created male and female, but to get the work done, the two of us have to be in the same nature. So in Genesis 5 verse 2 is just plain there. It said, "Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam." So in Adam, there was woman and man.
Yes.
And the separation is to ensure that one can have the feelings of the other and complement appropriately.
Yeah.
So it is very important that a man and a woman are together for them to be complete, not just in nature, but in hearing God, in following God, and doing the will of God. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Opie.
You know, man is, his spirit is masculine, his soul is feminine, his body is masculine. Woman, my spirit is masculine, my soul is feminine, and my body is feminine. So when they come together, they are one, they're whole, they're complete. You know, when they come together, they're complete. I know in my case, Mark has a gift of teaching. I may be more sensitive in the spirit as a woman. So one might be stronger in one part, you know, where the other person might be stronger in one part. But when they come together, it fits together and it's whole. And I believe that's what God wants. And when he sees us, Amen. He sees
Amen.
Us as one. Amen.
That was one of the things that Cecil was saying is about the woman, was that she is more sensitive to the things of the spirit, and good or bad. So there's the balancing there, but that she can see things sometimes that the man cannot see and brings that forth. But it's a complementary thing, complementing one another, making complete. But he always said that the woman was more sensitive to the things of the spirit.
Well, the other thing about having a wife is having children. And raising children is not a piece of pie 100% of the time. Children give you trouble. They have an inclination to want to do their own thing, to rebel. And this is part of the making of an elder, is that he has to know how to, it says right there in the word that we read, to manage his own household. Okay, now it doesn't necessarily mean, all right, some good brethren, some good elders sometimes end up with some terrible rebellious children. Okay? But still, the experience of raising them is what God wants them to have. It's a type of tribulation that is going to make them sons of God. Amen. I don't know that there's any parent that hasn't had a certain amount of tribulation from their children. Overcoming tribulation is the key of making us sons of God. Amen.
One last little thing I was going to say was, remember now, this world is God's pattern of his spiritual world. So when he told us we're to be one flesh with our bride, we're his bride, and we're supposed to become one flesh with him. So that's him showing us the way.
You know, I think it was Mike that what you said caused me to remember one other thing is, we'll use this term woke. Woke culture that's come in the last, what should we say, 10 years maybe? This terrible culture that people that are born male or female decide that God must have made a mistake because they'd like to be the other. This thing of saying that a woman can marry a woman, a man can marry a man. I mean, this is just horrible, horrible rebellion against the order of God. And this is one of the reasons that the churches are going in for these other translations of the Bible, which I don't trust. And the original word in Genesis, there are people who absolutely hate that definition of the creation. It is just hated, some of that, by the churches, that there are male and female. And you know what? God only made two genders. This woke culture would have you believe, and this is getting into the schools. Some of the schools are allowed to teach children this. Well, that there must be 10 or 12 genders or 20 or 30 genders, and they've got all kinds of definitions now of not male and female only. No, God's order hasn't changed. It remains the same from the beginning. And you know, David must be awfully embarrassed if he can hear us talking about what we're reading about him. I am so glad that nothing is written in scripture about my life.
Brother Mike, I'm thinking God has to show us this pattern. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, Brother Paul says, all the mystery is about Christ and the church, about marriage, a man and a woman. I think Brother Mike.
Yes. Your internet froze up, brother. Lord, we just pray, release that. Go ahead, brother. I think you're back.
Yeah,
church. All what I have to do as a man when my wife offends me is to look up to how Christ reacts. When it's to be that pattern, is to be an example to the world. I don't think there will be quarrelings and fightings, divorces, and children running out of homes. I think the picture of Christ and the church should correct the normal things that we see in the world. But when the church falls apart, divorces and children running out of control and all that, we fail in our responsibility to win the world to Christ. And I don't see any other way we can win the world. The safety that's in Christ Jesus, other than us taking heed and trusting the word of God to amend our ways and keep the family unit. I don't see any other thing other than what God wants, to be like Christ and the church. Being lashed at it, tolerating, correcting in love, dying to self by the man and also with the wife, and all of us waiting patiently for God to perfect our souls to be like Christ. Then we can have a perfect marriage, as Christ is going to have a perfect church at the end of the day. That's my tip.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Well, it appears we've come to the end of our, I'm going to turn the recording off.